We're joined this morning by Rick Noland, who is the Cavaliers beat reporter. You can read him in the Medina Gazette, also in the Chronicle Telegram. I thought we'd have you on, kind of, Rick, because of the big news that broke recently for the Cavs. How surprised or what were your thoughts when the news came down on Friday that Coach Blatt was out and Ty Lue was the new head coach?
Well, I had heard some rumblings when they lost to Golden State and Portland back-to-back, and then they kind of went on an eight-game winning streak, so I thought the talk had kind of died down. So I guess the best way to describe it is when I got the text Friday afternoon, I was shocked that I got it then, but I'm not shocked that it happened when I step back and look at it, if that makes any sense at all.
Well, it's the same kind of tone that I'm getting from a lot of the different reporters that follow the Cavaliers. They all kind of knew this cloud was there. They just didn't know how it was going to play out. Now that we've got Ty Lue as the new head coach, he's got like half a season to kind of keep things going or change the direction. What's his kind of edict?
Well, he's trying to make, you know, some tactical changes as far as playing faster with the first unit, taking Kevin Love out of the game a little sooner and playing him more with the second unit at the pace they had been playing under Blatt so he can get more touches. I think the biggest thing behind this move was that, and David Griffin just went on and on about this Friday at the press conference, was that he just didn't like the mood in the locker room, used the word connectedness at least five times, and galvanization. His point being, and I agree with it 100%, that this team was always at its best when they were told that they couldn't win, when a bunch of injuries had hit, and they were minus key players. They pulled together and fought unbelievably hard and played well. The playoffs last year being, you know, Exhibit A. But what he didn't like was the way that they handled prosperity and success and the way that they kind of buckled under the expectations when everybody was healthy and big things were expected of them. It was almost like he was suggesting that they kind of shrunk away from that.
Well, that could be the personality of the team. You know, in any kind of locker room, there's always a different personality. They come together because they love each other. They come together because they hate somebody in particular, you know, a common enemy. Or maybe they're just doing their journeyman work. So how do you think you could change it?
It could be, I think, and I had gotten this sense dating all the way back to last season, you know, right or wrong, you don't want to really kick a guy when he's down, but I think David Blatt, by his personality and by the way he coached, just the way he came across, I think it was David Griffin's belief, and I agree with it 100% that for whatever reason, he had taken all the fun out of playing basketball with this team. Now, you're right, it could be the personality of this team, but Tyronn Lue has touched on it several times already, that they're just not enjoying the game the way the game should be enjoyed. You're making millions and millions and millions of dollars to dribble a ball and pass it and shoot it. It shouldn't be water torture. You know, you should be having fun out there, and I think that's what they're trying to get back to. Whether it can be done by hiring a former player who can relate to the players in theory a little better than David Blatt did, I don't know. But I think that David Griffin sensed that they were not going to win a championship if David Blatt continued to be the head coach. Tyronn Lue at least gives them that chance.
Have you seen, we've only done two games, one they lost, one they won, a change in the locker room? Is it palpable? Do you really notice it?
You know, there was a little bit, a lot more joking around last night after Lue's first win. At times, it seems almost like they're trying to be happy rather than being genuinely happy. I don't think that's something we'll get a hold on until a couple more weeks, maybe a month down the road. You know, and some old habits are still cropping up, too. They get in a tight game. and the ball stops moving. No matter how well it's moved up to that point, the game gets close, and we're still seeing LeBron dominating the basketball or Kyrie dominating the basketball, and that's something that just has to change. And in David Blatt's defense, that's a LeBron James and a Kyrie Irving problem. They've got to be willing to adjust and play a different style, I think, if this team is going to have long-term, and when we're talking success with this team, we're talking a championship. I think anything else, if they get to the finals, I think it's an average season. If somehow they don't get to the finals, and I still don't see any way they won't, then I think this season's been an abject failure. Expectations are that high, and justifiably so.
You talk about the pace of the game. It was kind of evident during the Timberwolves with the sort of the second unit on. Things were going a little bit faster. First team gets in and kind of slows down as well. So these are adjustments I guess they're going to have to work on.
Well, actually, it's going to be the exact opposite when they get this thing down. They're going to try to play as fast as possible with Kyrie and LeBron on the floor. And take Kevin Love out near the six-minute mark and then bring him back later in the first quarter and on into the second with the second unit and play slower. I think one of the things I saw last night is, when you get NBA players or players at any level and you tell them you want to play faster and they start having some success with scoring the ball, it kind of creeps into the mind that, okay, that means we don't have to play defense, and they did not play much defense last night in that game against Minnesota. So there's a fine line. They want to maintain the defensive effort they had under Blatt, but increase the number of possessions a little bit and try to get better, quicker, faster shots the way Lou wants to play. So it's definitely a work in progress at this time.
There's a certain level that you can reach. If you go too fast, then it turns into almost like an all-star game, and you realize defense
Correct.
Has gone out the window on you.
Correct, that's what happened last night. They got up 7-0 and 14-4, and it was like, okay, we got this. We're playing a bad team. We don't have to guard anybody. We'll just outscore them, and then you snap your fingers, and Minnesota, which hadn't won two games in a row since November, and was trying to do that last night, just like that, they're winning 27-24 late in the first quarter. So, these problems aren't going to be solved overnight. But due diligence, and that just sounds like Dan Gilbert and David Griffin way too much. But if they stick to it and are really committed to doing it, there's a ton of talent on this team. If things are going well in June, it's the kind of team that can give San Antonio or Golden State all they want in the finals.
When you have some new coach take over, they have pet players or people that they like, others they don't. Is there any change that we may see related to that, or the fact that Ty's been on the bench, it'll be maintained the same?
Yeah, Ty Lue, when he originally got the job, he said he wanted to play 10 guys, and he played 10 in the first quarter against Chicago on Saturday. Last night he basically played 8 and then used Mo Williams for 5 minutes. It's just hard to use Mo right now because it's virtually impossible to play 5 guards, and that's what he's trying to do. I found it a little curious. I thought Andy might get a little more play, but he hasn't been a factor at all yet. So I think we're going to see, we didn't see James Jones or Richard Jefferson last night. Which has basically been their backup small forward all year, but they're trying to play Shumpert some there now. So I think Lou right now, he's in a grace period. He's going to get the opportunity to try some things, feel things out. But, they started Tristan again last night after moving Mozgov back in the starting lineup. So hopefully they will settle on a lineup, find a rotation, and fine-tune it and not keep, I don't want to say not keep, it sounds like I'm criticizing, but there's a little bit of grasping at straws going on right now, finding out what works and what doesn't. So, give us till a couple weeks after the All-Star break. I think we'll have a much better read on whether there have been significant changes, and not only changes, but significant improvements.
Were you surprised by that lack of conditioning comment at all? I mean, that seemed to me was kind of one of those where you thought, really, basketball players, they always seem, especially in the middle of the season, they should be at their peak performance.
A little bit, but not really, because I understand what he's saying. Under Blatt, they averaged the second fewest possessions per game in the league. And they're in shape. They're just not in shape to play at the tempo and pace consistently that Lou wants them to. That's the kind of thing that I think will be adjusted to fairly quickly within a week or two, and that will no longer be a factor.
I just had a comment or a question relating to the team that we may face in the finals, Golden State. After they sort of took care of the Spurs, does it put a whole different perspective on how things are going to go with that team? Or what do you see from them having watched them so far?
Yeah, you know, as a basketball fan and the way I like watching the game played, I favor teams that play at a faster pace and open the game up and let players play. But I kind of find it interesting that if the Cavs played this style as well as they possibly could and everything clicked, I still don't think they play it anywhere near as well as Golden State does. So you could make the argument that they're doing the wrong thing if they want to beat the Warriors in the finals, that the way they're going to beat them is to slow the game down to a crawl as often as possible, bang away inside and try to wear Golden State down. So it will be interesting to see how this plays out. Can they work on this running game the rest of the regular season and then suddenly go to a different style once again in the playoffs? So those are all questions that are going to get played out here in the next 3, 4, 5 months.
Right. When you brought that up, it reminded me of the Rocky. Remember Rocky when he went right-handed for the one time and then he switched over to the left hand? It's kind of the thing. We already know how to do this defensive slow ball game really well. If we can master this other one, then we can maybe have two things in our back pocket.
Yeah, two things in your arsenal. I just think sometimes it's hard to get NBA players to continually switch. But we'll see. They pushed Golden State last year without, you know, Kyrie and Kevin. We'll see what happens. You know, and there's no lock. Golden State gets there. San Antonio got drilled last night, but they're still a very, 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 very good team. And I'm expecting the Warriors and Spurs to meet the West Finals, and one of them's not going to make it. And I think the Cavs will be there waiting regardless. Right. So that's the one thing I think they have in their hip pocket is their path to get to the finals is much, much easier in the East than it is for those two teams in the West.
Right. Well, we just hope that we're still playing basketball in June, and that's really the goal. And we wish Ty Lue the best of luck. And we're going to be following the Cavs as well as looking at your reports in the Gazette and the Chronicle-Telegram. Rick Nolan joining us this morning. Thanks for sharing a bit of your time with us.
Anytime.